So how many of the actual features, because I was trying to keep track, how many of the actual 20 of the 22 features got approval? About maybe nine or so? I was trying to keep up with it, but I lost track after a while.
Charles will be on in a couple seconds, and he will go through with the list and answer that question for you, because I honestly don't remember myself.
So what all else happened at CSUN that's worthy of recognition?
A couple things. Actually, we had, the BioFeature game that you and Kevin were a part of, and on Thursday afternoon, we had limo tours from 1 to 5, and basically what they would do is the limo would just kind of like drive around not too far from the hotel, maybe 2 or 3, 4 miles away from the hotel, and then you would show or demonstrate what the GPS does, like how you would get your nearest address, how you'd get your intersection. You can even make it create a route and then watch it recalculate because you're not really navigating the driver, which was kind of fun. And the Friday morning we had presentation or training sessions, and Friday afternoon we had more limo tours, but we also there was usually somebody manning the Sendero portion of the HumanWare booth. We were kind of in the HumanWare booth as well as our pre there was a Sendero employee in the HumanWare booth for those days. Wednesday afternoon, we pretty much all of us were in the booth.
Great. Sounds like so the conference actually lasts what? 2 days or 3 days or what?
The keynote speech is given on Wednesday morning, and it lasts until about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, that's a full schedule then.
And there are presentations going, and there are presentations going, and if you wanted to, you can go to presentations as well as go to the exhibits. It's a huge conference. I don't know if you've ever been to it before. I know Kevin has.
No, I've never been. I always thought it was probably would be way over my head, but after hearing about it this year, I don't feel quite as intimidated that it might be something worth considering in the future.
Okay, I got my system back up. Sorry, guys, I forgot that my volume was turned off or my mute was on from that CSUN.
Just didn't want to hear us and doesn't want to tell us.
So what did I miss?
We were just talking about the different events that we had done at CSUN, and Eileen was making a comment about, it might be something she'd be interested in for the future, and she doesn't think it's as intimidating as maybe she thought it was.
Oh yeah, we're all happy-go-lucky.
Hey Chris, when you took that limo tour, did you bring your glasses so you'd be sure to see everything?
Sure, the glasses were a little speaker sitting on my lap connected to the Braille note. And the eyes were the speech of the GPS telling us what was around.
Think it's called look around, huh?
Yep, that's look around at its finest.
Exactly.
Of course, that was just a little joke, it was.
Actually, look around mode. We were driving down the street and it announced a strip joint. And there was somebody sitting next to me. I think she may have been from Japan, but I'm not sure. And she asked me, she goes, "Okay, so what's a strip joint?" And I'm like, "You're better off not knowing."
Good answer.
That was good. So you didn't go into detail on that one.
Oh no.
So Chris, this was your first CSUN. What did you think?
I'm awake. It was actually my second CSUN. The first CSUN I was a consumer, and being on the other side of the fence, it's totally different.
Yeah, CSUN was really busy this year. There was a lot of people there, and the traffic was definitely there. A lot of good questions, and so yeah, I was very very pleased with how everything worked out. Do I sound like a good level here for everyone, or should I bump up my mic volume a little bit?
I'm just fine, Charles.
Well, your comments are loud and clear. Just real good. Everybody is.
Yep, you sound great.
Cool, cool, cool. So, do we want to tell everyone, record what features were bought at the Buy a Feature session? Do we need to recap anything else before going into what was purchased?
If Kevin and Eileen have any questions or comments or suggestions of the Buy a Feature, Eileen had a suggestion, but I don't think it was actually, I wasn't recording at the time, so if she'd want to repeat that, it was regarding the negotiation.
Yes, what I said is that being a participant online, I couldn't hear what people in the room were saying with regard to some of the features. So if it had been necessary to try to negotiate points, I wouldn't have been able to hear what any of their reasons would be for why I should give up some of my points for a particular feature.
I see. I don't think there was a lot of negotiating going on. Most people were just telling me how many points they wanted to put towards a specific feature that I was talking about at the time. And you're probably right, we probably should have repeated a few more things than I did. I apologize for that.
Oh, no, I think you did fine, but maybe if we do this again, and if there has to be negotiation, if there could be some setup so that we could hear what people in the room were saying, because it would be pretty much impossible, I would think, for you to repeat all the comments and all the... If it really got to a feature that had to be negotiated, it would be pretty hard for you to repeat everything that people were saying.
I see. Okay, so basically have a wireless mic that I could pass around and have each person talk into the mic as well. So that's a good point. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll just go through the ones. What I'll do is, should I go through the ones that didn't make it first? How about that idea?
Let's go for that.
That's good. I have mine in order of point value, so I want to try to keep track of what you're doing, so I might have to apologize and ask you to slow down if I can't find the number.
Okay, I'll tell you the points too as well, if that might help you. Okay, so the first one that didn't make it, this is the didn't make the cut list, is number 91, 12 points, human voice for left and right announcements, didn't make the grade. Number 121, 48 points, searching with POI subcategories, didn't make the cut.
It's too bad.
What was that, Kevin? I didn't hear you.
It's too bad that feature didn't make it because I really wanted it.
Yeah, that was one I was kind of surprised at. I thought more people would have gathered their points together to get that one. But it was a pretty expensive feature as well, 48 points. Another one that was people were just not willing to put up 80 points worth, which was explore POI by POI along a road. And, that was a big one. So that was number 157, didn't make it either. Number 240, 8 points, when you set your virtual position to an address, have the heading set to the address so that the building is on your right-hand side. I was surprised that didn't make it, 8 points. But I think if I would have tied that with what, see, that has to be done first before I can do, when you turn left or right, we virtually jump you to the nearest intersection. I have to have this one first before I can do that other feature. So, unfortunately, this one didn't get done, so I don't think the other one will make it in 4.0 either. So, unfortunately, when you turn left or right, it's going to jump you to the nearest intersection instead of staying at that address. Maybe if I would have said that in the negotiations, a person would have bought that feature.
I'm sure that would change things a bit.
Yeah, I didn't think of that until just now. Okay, the next one that didn't make it is It was only 4 points, and no one bought it. I was surprised. Is look around, have it a user-definable number of seconds. I was surprised that didn't make it. Only 4 points. Next one that didn't make it was number 459, 12 points. Set your virtual position automatically to the state capital. I was kind of surprised that that didn't make it either. Another one that I didn't think was going to make, because I think it's overpriced, but Mike wanted it that way, so oh well, is 618, 40 points, make the GPS software more consistent with KeySoft by changing control key to read key. I think that should be done, and I think Sendero just has to, I think we have to strong arm Mike into giving us that.
Put all my points towards it.
Yeah, we should have been allowed to vote, eh, Chris? Okay, number 678, 32 points. Automatic address matching. If the street field is empty, pick the next logical default. I'm surprised that didn't make it. Wow. So, it was, you know, if you didn't find, if you didn't have a, if you don't put in a street name, that it would pick something like Main Street or First Street, so you don't have to just pick one yourself. But I guess because it's 32 points, that people just didn't want to, you needed, required like two or three people to group their points together, so I guess that's why. So that's the list that didn't make it. So now here are the ones that did make it. Number 68 worth 12 points, announce new cities as you enter them in both GPS and virtual mode. That's kind of cool. And one that I was very surprised that actually made it, which was create a route via your virtual position, two routes joined together. I'm surprised that made it. Wow. Okay.
I felt all my points in that one.
That's right. That was the one at the end, and I gave it to you for 46 points versus the 48. Right?
Actually, I think I had two more points, so it would have been 48 anyway.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm not sure if Boppin had some points left over. He wasn't keeping track, so he might have had some points left over too. And one that made it that I think should have been more points than really it was is number 205 or 16 points, and really probably should have been doubled. But we'll see how much it's going to take me to do is POI searching ahead of you from the 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock position ahead of you. So it's going to be a cool feature once it's implemented. I just think it, I might have undervalued that one. But it's in there.
Real nice feature.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really going to make the product a lot better there. Because I know I thought of that a number of years ago while I was on the train. And I was like, I don't care about points that are behind me. I want to know what's ahead of me.
Exactly.
Number 288, 12 points. When you turn onto a new street in GPS mode, announce the new street after 20 paces or so. I guess Trekker has this feature, so it would be nice to for us to put it in our product as well. Does anyone know if Trekker has the automatic announce cities when you enter them too? No Trekker fans out there, eh? Okay. And how am I doing as far as speed-wise, Elaine?
Magnificent.
Great, thanks. Okay, number 341 worth 48 points. Summarize my route. Yeah, I guess a lot of people really, that was one of the first big ones that actually went, and people were putting 8 points up left, right, and center, so that was pretty exciting to see that one go. And I don't think it'll be too bad to actually implement, but what I'm envisioning is going to be one long string or something along those lines, and you know, separated by periods for different sentences. And so it should be spoken okay. I think it's going to be okay on Braille. And then you'll be able to copy that to the clipboard and bring it into your Word document to actually print out if you actually wanted to make a Braille copy or something.
What if, and this is just me throwing this out, but what if you automatically copy it to the clipboard when you do that feature? That way it could be in several chunks.
Right, but then what do you do with the existing clipboard? Do you clear it? Do you just append to it? Maybe people may not want it. You may not realize that it's being appended to the clipboard, so if you do it a couple times, all of a sudden your clipboard is getting pretty big.
Just a thought.
So then there was number 355 worth 12 points. Create a user hotkey to be customized up to 3 commands. I was kind of surprised as that went after I, you know, sort of implied that you could do that with the multiple repeat and hitting the multiple repeat key to do that. But I guess kind of nice, and so we'll have to see how that plays out. But, you know, and then we have to figure out what key combination we want to use for both the BT and the QT. Then we have the My Favorites, which got changed, number 393, 16 points. It was going to be the most recently used, got changed to My Favorites, and really it should have been worth a lot more points then from 16. It should have been up at 32, unfortunately. So that's going to be fun. So I'll have to see how that's going to play out. But as soon as we switch it to My Favorites, boy, did that ever go fast.
But again, now, that is that going to carry over, or is it only going to be My Favorites for that particular session?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't know. I'm going to try to make it persistent, but, you know, that would be the ultimate, and it just depends on how things go in development with the other features. That one might be one of the last ones I implement, and if it doesn't make the grade, I might have to cut it. So we'll see. I don't want to implement something that's half-baked. So it's either going to work and it's going to work well, or I'm not going to put it in. So we'll leave it at that, and if it's in there, it'll be done right. How does that sound?
Right, because if My Favorites only applies for a session, then it really doesn't have too much of a point as far as I could see.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll that'll be probably one of the last ones I'll implement, because if I do it, I really want to do it right. So we'll see how that goes. And to do it right, it's not no 16 points. It's probably like a 32 or a 40-point feature if I do it right.
It would be nice if it was the most recently used instead of My Favorites, I personally think.
Yeah, well, we'll see how things go. Okay, number 464, worth 12 points. Give me the next major intersection forward. So that should be kind of cool. Hopefully it won't be too difficult to implement. Number 513, worth 24 points. Two quick turns in a row while route following. So that's going to be a pretty impressive feature. I think that I know myself, there's when following a route, I use the Nuvi, Garmin Nuvi, and I really like the way that how it works. So I'm going to try to implement our software to do something similar. It's just a matter of do I put the two quick turn information in the approaching message or in the actual turn now message? So, and how do I phrase it such that it makes sense to our users? So that's the trick. And then there's also another trick that, you know, there's a point in the Nuvi where it says turn left, then turn right, but the turning right may not be the next street. There might be a street in between of you turning left, then turning right. So I have to try to figure out how to do it better than what the Nuvi is. Because if I was a pedestrian or, you know, in traveling in a vehicle and I heard that, I may have turned onto the wrong street after the first turn. So I want to be careful of how I word it to so that you know the correct information.
Put a distance information in there. That might help. I'm not sure.
What about number of blocks?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, it might tie in sort of with the summarize my route stuff. It'll definitely be distance-oriented, so if the distance was within a certain distance, it will trigger this other type of turn right, then turn left idea. But it also depends on your speed. So, you know, if you're going slow enough, you have time to hear the turn left, you make the left, and then you have time to make the right. So I think this is only for vehicles, and I think it might be tied to speed. I have to really think about that one. Again, we only want to implement something that's going to work well and not confuse the person. So, you know, that's one that I need to really think through and make sure it's done right. Number 639, worth 4 points, pause the entire system. I knew that one was going to be bought pretty pretty quickly as soon as I explained it. So it was good to see that one make it in. It shouldn't be too difficult to implement, just a matter of figuring out what key combination to use on both keyboards. Next one is 660 worth 8 points, and this is Carl's feature, Countdown to Destination. So that should be pretty interesting. And now I just have to figure out, is this just a Braille note implementation, or is this should be on the SDK? So that one I'm not sure how I want to approach that at all. It might have to be an SDK issue, which will complicate things, and maybe 8 points is a little on the underside of that feature, but we'll see how that works out. Number 671, allow access to WAV files so the user can modify them if they want, or delete them and won't hear them if that's what they would rather have. That's 8 points. Shouldn't be too difficult, I don't think. And so I was pretty confident that that was actually going to make it in, which will actually end up reducing the size of the program in memory, which is a good thing as well. I know you guys have been wanting to change that arrived at destination for years, so now's your chance. So the next one is number 676, worth 16 points. Bluetooth status of the GPS receiver when you enter the program, and be able to see what GPS receiver you're connected to and the like. So that'll be, I think that's a needed improvement. Considering all of the Keysoft issues with Bluetooth, it would be nice to know if you know, is your receiver paired and active, or should you go into the connectivity menu and activate it to lose that setting by some reset. So it would be nice to know that, I think, going forward and making it more, you understand, is it the receiver maybe just not turned on, or is it a active paired and active issue, or did you lose the pairing and everything on a certain type of reset? So I think that's a big improvement moving forward. And then the last one, which I also thought was going to make it, which is really, I think, really needed and makes things a lot simpler and understandable, is number 677 worth 8 points, is to remove the GPS main menu. So that's going to be... that's going to be a huge improvement, I think. Most of the people just hit N. They want to bypass the main GPS menu. Like, why have it? You know, it just makes sense to take that right out of there. Maybe we want to put in some type of menu system so that you can go in and, maybe it'll make the help a lot easier. And so instead of having a help the way that it is, maybe it's done through a, quote, menu system that you can go in and cursor down, you know, so you'd have main categories along the top, just like a regular menu, like file and, you know, different things like that. And then underneath that would have, you know, but we'd have something more specific. So I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. But I think moving forward, that's another area that we want to improve on. But getting rid of the GPS menu will be definitely improvement on that. So that's it, folks. That's the features that got bought and the ones that didn't. So any comments, questions? Is there something in there that you wish would have made it in? I know Kevin wanted the POI subcategories to make it in there. Is there any others in there? Because you never know. If I have extra time on my hands, or I think something is a lot easier to do than one that made it in, I might decide to change it up a little bit, given the amount of time that I have left to get new features in. Sendero does reserve the right to, you know, choose the final selection of what gets into the program, but we definitely are going to be looking at what he chose in this first ever buy a feature event very closely, and it's really going to weigh lots in our decision making. Again, thank you very much for a great time. I know the Sendero staff had a blast doing this, getting ready for this, discussing which features should make the cut to present to you. And then while playing the game, it was definitely a lot of fun. And just hearing the negotiation and the, you know, the how people were excited about buying their favorite feature and stuff. It was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it.
You certainly did a great job because you had a lot to handle there. I think the features that I primarily had hoped for did get in. I would like to still see the look-around user-definable settings. I'd still cast my vote for that if I had some extra points to give away.
Did you say you had 2 points?
No, that was just to show that it really was an illegal 48-point vote for that virtual feature. We didn't get a break because I really had 2 more points.
Yeah, I know, but theoretically you could put that other 2 points in the user definable seconds and then we would only need 2 more points. So maybe Boppin really had 2 more points and we could sneak another feature in there.
That might work. And then the other feature I was thinking about as well was where you set yourself virtually at an address or point of interest. So it'll be such that it's on your right side. That'd be a pretty nice feature if it was at all possible to make that into the release as well.
Yeah, I know that one's going to take, a little bit of time. And then to be able to flip around at that one point so that you could be heading north and then you could hit the left arrow key and then heading south, that's really what you want to be able to do. And I know that will take some time. So, we'll see. We'll see how things go. I know it's an issue, and eventually we'll get there, Kevin.
I'm really glad that the create user hotkey got in there. I'll tell you, in Connecticut, there are a lot of people who want GPS, and our state agency is not buying them. And frankly, despite what they say, I think the reason is that staff is afraid that if people had GPS, they would have to teach it. And I think the creation of a user hotkey could really make it easier for people like me who are trying to show and advocate to show them that, it really isn't that hard to get people started on this. So I see this as a possibly really good selling point.
Okay, that's good to know. And so would you be willing, I'm trying to figure out the next part of that because, we could just specify a key combination, but if it's a hard key combination because we're running out of key combinations, then it might not be as useful. A person may want, it has to be a one-handed command, for this to be work. Why have a key combination that's, you need 2 hands and to press, and it's just, not that great. So do we allow a user to say, let's say it's the A key, the dot one. If you want user definable, you have to redefine the A key or dot one. So if maybe it'll have to be addressed as one and then 2 other things, or I'm just trying to figure out how we want to do this, or do we really say, we'll just allow the user to redefine any key they want, and it's up to them to pick a key. I don't know what the right, if a person doesn't use speed, or for example, or whatever, that they could redefine that key.
I can see the redefining of an actual key a tech support nightmare, and a nightmare for the person if they forgot that they defined that key, and then they go into help and it says A for address, and then they're hitting A and it's saying GPS status. So I can see I think it needs to be a hard-coded key, but that's just my personal opinion.
Are there comments on that?
Yes, I could see where that could be confusing to a lot of people, and I would say choose a key and, encode it into the program so that it would be there and everybody would know that that specific key does this particular function.
Okay. What about the Z? Do we currently use Z? Could we use that as the key?
Deltitude.
Right. Well, chord Z, we could change it, like space Z, we can change it to altitude, and then Z is the user definable.
Or I'm not sure, I'm trying to remember if it does, but how about, excuse me, like a space A, something like that, you know, with on the Braille style keyboard, for instance, with you know, space A as opposed to A.
No, space A is a reserve for something else in Braille. I can't use that key.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I didn't quite get that, Kevin, but Z on the QT is, would be pretty easy to find, I would think. So that would be a nice one-handed key combination. I don't know what Z is in Braille. I can't remember off the top of my head. Is that a hard, that's a two-handed operation, right?
Yeah, that's a two-handed, but what about like a backspace 2-3? Is that used for anything?
I believe so. It has something to do with roots, I thought.
That's next turn, and I'm trying to think. I think we could probably use backspace dot 2 on the B2 style keyboard, but I'm not sure about the QT.
Yeah, I think Sendero is just going to, we're going to have to just get together with our alpha testers and try to hash out. So you wanted a hard-coded key. That's good to know. I think taking away that from this is good. And we'll just, in Sendero, figure out what key combination makes the most sense. And maybe it doesn't, maybe it's not the same key for the QT versus the BT. But I don't know, I'd like to try to, if all possible, keep it the same key combination. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But maybe, you know, maybe there's an alternate for BT. So maybe something like, if we did go with my idea of Z, change space Z to be the altitude and Z to be the new user definable, then, you know, Z and the BT would be used the same key, and then maybe backspace dot two or whatever, like you suggested there, Kevin, as a secondary alternate for a one-handed BT operation. Could work, or maybe it's we leave Z alone and it really is Control Z or Space C. Maybe that's the combination. Well, good. I gotta go, guys. I gotta go and cook up. I'm making ginger chicken tonight, so I'm gonna do some Chinese food at the house here. But it was a very good wrap up here. We had a great time, as I said, and. Sendero will figure out some what we're going to talk about next week. But, Carl has a question here.
Yeah, Charles, I have a real quick question, a very important one. Did you make your flight?
Oh, yeah, no problem there, actually. It was actually funny, Carl. As soon as I got upstairs, the taxi service was right there loading people on. So I just walked right on the minivan there and took us right to the airport within a minute or two of me getting up there. So it was actually really good, perfect timing for me. And, you know, I get to the airport, everything went fairly smoothly, and my flight was actually delayed by about half an hour, so I had lots of time. So, but thanks.
Very, very glad to hear that. All of us were almost betting that you were going to make your flight, so I'm glad you did. In just for fun, I was able to get a trace from the time we reached the altitude. They let us use devices on the plane all the way in until we arrived at the gate. And that's going to be kind of interesting now to play that trace back.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. I was thinking about doing that, but... I was just too tired.
I understand. It was kind of a little trick to get through the pilot to get the authorization to do that, but finally he basically said, well, I didn't hear the question, but if you fell asleep and forgot to turn it off, who knows?
That's great. That is awesome.
Hope you enjoy your dinner and your cooking, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, man. And, definitely you should send that around to the alpha testers there. Be curious to see, take a look at that. So, all right, gang, you take care, and we will talk to you next week. See ya.
Thanks for the superb job you did, Charles. We really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun. You guys made really worthwhile. So thank you, too.
See you later, Charles.
Here goes.
I think another suggestion I would make, Chris, if this is done again, and I hope it will be, that somehow the time could be made for everybody to be familiar with the BIA feature before we actually got together, so that people would really have time to think about what features they liked. I mean, certainly we were familiar with them because of last week's session, but you know, so much of the time was taken going over the features again, and I think that maybe people didn't have time to think about what they actually wanted to buy because they were learning about them, you know, at the last minute like that.
Eileen, that's duly noted, and I think the next time, and there definitely will be the next time we do this, there will be some advance, and it'll most likely be up in the our website in a Word format or something that's very readable to everybody from the web, something in that vicinity, and with ample time for people to digest everything. So, but I appreciate your comment, and we realized that we should have had it out there more timely, I would say, and we all just ran out of time.
Well, you know, Carl, what really thrilled me is that, obviously, I'm not technical, I'm not a computer geek, I'm not, you know, I'd say my level of using GPS is intermediate at best, and so often, it's not people like me who are given a chance to give our input into what we would like to see happen. And it was just thrilling to me to be able to be included in some of this decision making. I just found the whole experience very, very worthwhile and exciting.
During the conference at CSUN, a lot of our not totally competitors, but other vendors were very, very curious of how we came up with the concept, I'm sure, and frankly, very jealous. And I know it's, you know, we always encourage people to let us know, and we do build up a database of people's desires, but this is another way to represent, you know, how much time it's involved in putting in a feature. And, you know, an overall total interest and not just an individual. So it is, I know I talked to Mike and Charles, and we're all in total agreement. We will continue this process.
Fantastic.
One question I have here while we're still on, I know time's getting short for us to terminate the chat line for this evening, but I'm running version 3.5, and sometimes while on a route, I'm just in look around, following the route that I'm going, let's say on public transportation, and I'm on the expressway on the Kensington, Chris, let's say, and all of a sudden it's, you know, giving me like Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and such. Then I get a message that says front door. You know, it brings up a user point for a destination that I've marked as, you know, front door, but then it goes away again, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me why it's doing that, and didn't know if anybody had an answer to that question.
If you look in your user points, you go to edit user POI file and see if you have a front door, something in a front door, and also when you're traveling along, how far away is it? Now, when you hear it, you can also do a space P to get more information on that point, and maybe you'll be able to figure it out from there. Is it something that maybe you accidentally recorded in there? I know that around Buffalo, I've put a number of user points that I've sent up for the collective file. And some of those are front doors, but they always say the name of the establishment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know about the Space P, and I didn't get any real information as to, you know, what was going on, but it stayed there for a few seconds, and then it just went away, so I guess I'll have to go into the user toy menu and edit, you know, go and edit and see what I can find if there's one there. Then if there is, if it doesn't belong there, then I can just remove that, and that should probably take care of it, or?
Yeah, that would take care of it.
Well, just be aware, if it was in the shared user BPI files, which cannot be edited out. So one thing you may want to try is just move your shared user BPI file to another folder temporarily to see if that removes that announcement. Then you know it's most likely has to be in your user POI file.
Okay, thank you very much for the info.
And if it's in the shared user POI and it's something that I put in there, maybe it was done by accident. I don't even know what's in there anymore.
Here, after about 400 points, you sort of forget what you submitted and what you haven't.
Like, actually, what I did, Walter, you might be interested in this, that little plaza by BJ's. A couple days ago, last weekend, I went there and marked the doorways to those areas like Blockbuster and a few of the other points I don't remember offhand, but I sent them up, and they should be in next month's POI file.
Oh, great. Okay. That's interesting. I would be interested in that, sure. Hey, one question I did have is, like on this chat line, or I'm also on the Piano the For the People website, and I get on the chat line there we have a piano technician's room on there, and a bunch of us playing piano technicians get on and, you know, discuss piano repairs and rebuilding techniques and things. I don't seem to get a message as to, you know, when somebody keys the mic, let's say you or Carl, it doesn't say anybody's name. Is that something, a characteristic with WindowEyes, or is there a way to change that? Right now I'm running 5.5, and I haven't installed 6.0 yet. I just got it in the mail, so I'm going to have to install that, but I didn't know if there was a way to fix that.
What you can do is you can hit Alt-U, and it'll take you to the user list, and the person at the top of the list is the one that's speaking, normally, if they're not in alphabetical order, and it will also say so-and-so is speaking.
Oh, okay, thank you. I never did. No, is that on any chat line or just on this one here? Or?
It's on the software that both chats use. It's the same software.
Yeah, the client conference software. Okay, thank you very much. Good talking with you, Chris.
Same.
Well, everybody, I don't know further questions and all. And I know I'm still in recovery mode, and the dog is saying time to eat. And I know Chris is probably still in recovery also, so I think I'll drop out.
Have a good one, Carl, and have a good one, everybody.
Take care, Carl, and take care, Chris.